Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite team, The Fan, on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
Good morning, good
morning.
Let's get right into it, man. This is quick. 2 hours. Met fans call me up. Yankee fans call me up. 888-808-1019. Now, you know, it's getting late early. No, it's late. This is it. This is it. It dawned on me today looking at the postseason picture and the wild card round, which both the Mets and the Yankees are most likely going to be in. Yes, I'm feeling like the Mets are going to make it. I don't want the Mets to not make it. I've been vocal about that. I've been saying, though, if they do fall out of this, I'm going to unload the... Anyway, I want to see the Mets win it. I want to see the Mets win enough games here to not have this epic collapse and get in. And then anything can happen once you're in. But it dawned on me that Tuesday, September 30th, the postseason starts. And we always just say October, October, October. It starts September 30th. And that is now 2 weeks from yesterday. Good morning, good morning. It is now Wednesday. And so, like, we're running out of time. How much happens in 2 weeks? 2 weeks is a pay period. You know, 2 weeks, imagine they tell you 2 weeks you got to lose 20 pounds. You can't do it. It's not a lot of time to change things. You pretty much are who you are and what you are in 2 weeks. It's, you know, what I'm saying is the pitching concerns that we have with the Mets and the Yankees, how much are they going to change? Like, I like the piggyback idea with Clay Holmes and Manaea. It worked tonight. You need it to work again Sunday and then maybe again, but... you know, now you need these young kids to really lock down for their last starts and hope that they don't turn back into pumpkins. And then on the Yankee side, and we'll get into the Yankee conversation in a minute, this Yankee bullpen is suspect. But good on the Mets tonight. Like I said, the right vibes in the building. The only other thing that I think I had to add was, like, you know it's going good when Cedric Mullins gets a hold of one. Imagine he gets hot right now. Imagine he contributes right now, can do anything for you. It sucks to see Francisco Alvarez. All he does is get beat up, hit by pitches, hurt. But he's happy. He's running out there with the ice bag on his arm because it feels good to win. And on Roberto Clemente Day, well, you know, in observance of Roberto Clemente Day, and, you know, some guys wearing the 21 and, you know, the Mets going out there to get a win, I just felt like there were the right vibes and energy coming off a day off, as well as just like, I think I talked last night about market correction and balance and how baseball just has a way of, you know, kind of flipping and it's unpredictable. If you lose 8 games in a row, I don't think you're going to lose another 8 games in a row. I think they're set up to win here. I really do. I think they're set up to win here against a Padres team that, like, they've had some success against. I know the Padres swept them, I think, in San Diego. But, I mean, they've had success against Michael King. And I think you carry this momentum into today and tomorrow, and like I said, with the bullpen rested, you got to feel good about your chances to take a series. It's time to win series. It's time to correct the mistakes. It's time to right the wrongs. So you've got David Peterson on the mound. You should feel good about him versus Nick Pivetta. And of course, you expect the lineup of the Padres to punch back. You expect this lineup of the Padres not to go quietly tomorrow. But if you want to win series, it behooves you to take that first game of the series. Now, the Yankees didn't take the first game of the series. The Yankees were sleep deprived. They were wide awake yesterday, I guess. Last night, I guess, for game two. Fully rested. They came out and they scored right away. You know, they put up two in the first inning. They put up four in the second inning, three in the third inning, one in the fourth, where you're like, hey, look at this. 10-1, New York Yankees. This is what it's supposed to look like. Hey, and not all just by the home run, right? The Yankees end up having 16 hits. Six Yankees had more than one hit. They score 10 runs. Some sac flies, some singles, some doubles, and obviously some home runs. Now, you know, the main storyline heading into this game tonight is Anthony Volpe's return. And that wasn't Anthony Volpe tonight. That was cortisone tone in his zone, at least to start until the cortisone wore off. Yeah, Volpe with a double, Volpe with a single. And I think it's just, you know, we have enough information about Anthony Volpe that after he does get a cortisone shot, after he does have some rest, after he does have some time to think about it, he plays better. You know, he even worked a walk today. I was pumped to see him work a walk. I'm like, what? Taking pitches? Anthony Volpe? That's not Volpe. That's cortisone tone. That's what I'm calling him. Cortisone tone with the shot in his arm. 888-808-1019. You know, I don't want to harp on it. I don't want to, like, talk about the bullpen and the negative stuff because it is what it is. It's one game. But, like, what I'll say is, you know, Cam Schlittler was a big talking point tonight. Cam Schlittler is a guy that is a whole rookie. Not even a whole rookie. He's not even half a rookie. What's he got, 12 starts? Cam Schlittler is a guy, though, that I think because of his success and his stuff in the recent weeks, we've started to dream about him taking the ball in October. I'm out on that. I'm not in that camp anymore for a couple reasons. Not just what I've seen tonight, as I talk about tonight being so close to the postseason. It is what it is now. You know, he had one point where he retired 11 batters in a row. Maybe sitting there as the Yankees just kept getting hits and walks and sac flies and homers and doubles or whatever, maybe that threw him off his rhythm a little bit. But I'm just starting to realize, like, yo, this guy is a rookie. We do have other options. Specifically Luis Gil, who pitched in the postseason last year and just had back-to-back good starts against postseason teams. Also, it's looking like we could face the Boston Red Sox, and Meredith Marakovich did a piece where they showed Cam Schlittler going in to sign the Green Monster, and they told everybody again how he grew up a Red Sox fan in Massachusetts, not that far from Fenway. I just feel like that's too much to put on a kid, especially if somehow if this flips, which it could, where we end up playing in Fenway. I wouldn't want to give him the ball in Fenway. I just feel like it'd be a lot of emotion. Probably everybody that he's ever known in his life try and be at that game. I just keep thinking back to Gerrit Cole, and he does have some similarities to Gerrit Cole. Remember 2021, that one game elimination wild card that we lost at Fenway? The Yankees are now two games up over the Red Sox. The Red Sox found a way to lose tonight. They lost 2-1 to the Sacramento A's. Great. And they had a young guy on the mound for them. I'll talk about that later. But the Yankees had to win this game tonight, going up 10-1. But, you know, here's the negative part, right? Cam Schlittler, who I said retired 11 in a row at one point, he gets through that fourth inning, and then he comes out and he loses his command. He gets to a point where it's just like Boone had to take him out. You couldn't rock with him any longer. And, I mean, it is what it is, but you want better from the guy. His pitch count was getting up there. I think he had a 30-pitch inning. He had five walks, and once he loses his stuff, like, the night is over because you have to take him out. So in that inning, Royce Lewis,
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Royce Lewis was the last batter he faced, and then Fernando Cruz comes in. Now, I didn't hear it on the post game. I was back here doing some other stuff, and I was also on my way in. I didn't hear them ask Aaron Boone. I'll go look for it, specifically why Fernando Cruz only went four pitches. I made a joke on Twitter. Fernando Cruz for three strikes. Ryan Yarbrough for three runs. But this is where I'm going with the bullpen. You know, and I shout out to Big Mac. I saw Big Mac kind of, you know, put a tweet out saying, like, the bullpen wasn't completely trashed tonight. Like, and those weren't Big Mac's words. But, you know, everybody's quick to say, this bullpen's a mess. This bullpen sucks. We can't trust this bullpen. Ryan Yarbrough has just gotten back. And Ryan Yarbrough is a guy that was literally given away by the Toronto Blue Jays this year. And did he have some good spots for us? Absolutely. He had some good starts. He had some good moments out of the pen. He had some rough moments. But now that he's back, you know, I'm not exactly sure about his stuff or where, you know, he fits or his role. So, like, as we talk about this circle of trust and we talk about, you know, who we're going to be using in September or whatever, like, he might not be one of those guys. You know, he's given it up every time he's come out. Since September 5th, he's given up at least a run in every time he's stepped out there on the mound. 888-808-1019. So I don't know. You know how they have their scripts and their lanes and their days to throw. I guess they wanted to go to Yarbrough because you're not going to go to Luke Weaver, and you're probably, now that Cam Schlittler came out of the game in 4 2/3 and you just used Fernando Cruz in that spot to get that out, you're going to go to Ryan Yarbrough to try and give you some length. But that didn't happen because he only got one out. He ends up giving up four hits, four runs, and one homer. And it's like, well, damn, here we go again. Now we're in a game and we're all questioning, okay, you can't lose this game. This bullpen sucks. These guys aren't for real. This is supposed to be the Minnesota Twins. They lay down, yada, yada, yada. What's going on with the Yankees? Now they got to add runs on. But whatever. All is well that ends well. A win is a win. They go to Mark Leiter Jr. Mark Leiter Jr., who we joked about last week, is Mark Leiter Fluid, bringing a lighter to the game. You know, he did what he had to do. Mark Leiter Jr. goes an inning in 2/3 and gives up one hit, no runs, doesn't walk anybody, and gets out clean. I've seen on the Yes Network, they said that's his longest outing since the ALCS Game 4 appearance that he made for us. So good for Mark Leiter Jr. rounding out. See, this is what I wanted. I wanted this soft spot of the schedule to be a place where guys could get their work out of the bullpen to round into shape, to get their confidence right. But it's baseball. Those guys over there, even if you don't know all of these Minnesota Twins, those guys over there get paid too. Those guys are professional hitters too. Those guys want to get some too. And it doesn't matter if it's Mickey Gasper, Ryan Fitzgerald, you know what I'm saying? Austin Martin, like these guys, Trevor, like the Minnesota Twins aren't playing for anything. So there's just like a level of like freeness. They're swinging free. 888-808-1019. When you go from Leiter Jr. to now Devin Williams in a tight game, all of us, I think, still have it built in that Devin Williams sucks. But that's not the case right now. Devin Williams is actually the guy that you trust the most, and he was dominant tonight. And he didn't look like he was shaky. Like, you know how you could see sometimes, like, he just doesn't have it, and he's wearing his emotions on his sleeve. He doesn't look confident, and he's worried. Devin Williams locked in. And it was like Devin Williams knew, yo, this is the Minnesota Twins. This is not high leverage at all. Let me go in and do what I got to do to stabilize this thing, and then I'm going to go sit down. And it's just kind of crazy that, like, we've gotten to the point on this roller coaster, up and down and up and down. You can't pitch Devin Williams. Don't throw Devin Williams. So now, like, oh, we need Devin Williams here. Devin Williams is the setup guy now before Bednar comes into the game. Devin Williams goes out there and has a better inning than your closer had. But I still don't trust him. I just seen him fold too many times. I just know, you want to talk about a setup guy? This is a setup for the postseason. The setup for the postseason is pitching Devin Williams in a spot like that late in the game, and he doesn't have it. But we don't have any other choice, folks. This is just the roster. This is how they've set it up. Cashman tried to go get Camilo Duvall, tried to go get Jake Bird, tried to get other options. We got to get Luke Weaver right. This is just the Yankees bullpen. It is what it is. Their lanes are their lanes, and, you know, it is what it is. You gotta just ride with it. But, yeah, Devin Williams goes out there, four-pitch strikeout. His velocity was up. Second batter, two-pitch ground out, and then Byron Buxton. He had a 96-mile-an-hour four-seam fastball in the zone to Byron Buxton. I'm like, oh, he's cooking, bro. Like, Devin Williams is feeling it. This is an all-star he's facing. And last but not least, David Bednar has to scare you a little bit, gives up that solo shot, and it's like, really, bro? It's 10-9. Another solo shot ties it, but they get out of it. Other little things from this game, you know, Jose Caballero not getting the start, but, you know, Jose Caballero coming off the bench when Stanton singles and Caballero comes in to pinch run, and there is no situation where you're putting Caballero in as a pinch runner that he's not going. He steals his 47th base to lead Major League Baseball. And he's a weapon like that, where you start to look at Anthony Volpe, where it's like, yo, Volpe, get back to fielding your position cleanly. No errors. Fielding the position and having better at-bats like you had your first couple at-bats. Him and Wells together, chicken parm potness. Together, they were cooking up in the beginning of the game. Some weaker at-bats later in the game. But, you know, like I said, multiple guys with double hits tonight, multi-hits tonight. In the bottom of the order, Wells, Volpe, even McMahon got a hit tonight. Jazz Chisholm had two hits. Stanton had two hits. Good to see Stanton come out of it after the Golden Sombrero yesterday. Ben Thrice with three hits. Judge with a knock and two walks. And Trent Grisham with his 31st homer. Trent Grisham with a double to start the game off. Trent Grisham with three ribbies to lead everybody tonight. Trent Grisham having the best season of his career. The Yankees get the win, and a win is a win is a win is a win. It's a whack ride that they take you on. It should have been a 10-1 win if, you know, really, you know, we want it the way that we had it or saw it, but they make you sweat a little bit. 10-9. You're not going to worry about that in 2 weeks when the wild card game starts. Now, speaking of the wild card, you know, I just saw Talking Yanks put out, as things currently stand, the Yankees would host the Astros in a three-game wild card series to begin the postseason. Now, I'm fine with that. I don't mind that at all. I was just telling E-Man, I hate the Red Sox and the Astros just alike. We owe both of them. Whomever, send them. But that game, or those three games, have to be played in the Bronx. Those three games have to be played in our ballpark. I just think it's a better setting. Home field advantage. They're going to be sold out. They're going to be comfortable. We're worried about travel and rest. They'll be able to sleep in their own beds, get to the ballpark in their regular routines. When you look at Yordan Alvarez's injury, and that was terrible how he cranked his ankle stepping on home plate. You can't tell me he's going to be ready to go for the wild card round in 2 weeks. He's not. He's going to be hobbled. He's not going to have all of his strength in the batter's box. He's not going to be able to play the field. So that's a huge blow for the Astros. And, you know, the Astros have the scorching hot Seattle Mariners coming up. The Mariners have won 10 in a row. The Mariners, with Cal Raleigh, who hit two home runs tonight, he passes Mickey Mantle now with 56 home runs as a switch hitter. And I'm telling you, they're going to kick that narrative. I'm telling you, they're going to do as much as they can to push Cal Raleigh as MVP. I made a joke tonight as well about Judge stealing third there and getting caught stealing. I don't know why he was going there. I don't know what he was trying to do. I don't know what he saw, what he felt. I don't know. Like, I made a joke that, oh, Cal Raleigh's got 11 stolen bases and Judge, or he's got 11 stolen bases. Cal Raleigh's got 14 and Judge is trying to catch him here down the stretch. So that's another stat that he doesn't have over him. But no, you know, Judge can't do that. And Judge was visibly frustrated. He knew, like, that's not a smart baseball play right there, you know, running in to that out. But anyway, back to the Astros. If the Astros are who we end up dancing with, great. I was at the 2015 wild card, one game set, Dallas Keuchel versus Masahiro Tanaka when they knocked us out then, 2017 when they knocked us out then, 2019 when they knocked us out then, 2022 when they knocked us out. Like, how nice would it be? The first ever three-game set that the Yankees host. If it's three games against the Houston Astros, I guess we're going to see Framber Valdez, Hunter Brown, Christian Javier. And I would throw Max Fried, Carlos Rodon, and Luis Gil and hope that the Yankees are the Bronx Bombers and the Yankees put the ball into play and the bullpen is sorted and all of those guys can go deep enough into the game where you don't have to make that many bullpen decisions and the Yankees are able to advance. And then they would advance and face the Toronto Blue Jays, and how awesome would that be? I've never been to Toronto. I might try and go up to Toronto to the Rogers Center for that. How awesome would that be to go avenge this season, right? Because the Yankees should have won this division this year, but Toronto owned them, and they did a lot of different things in between that lost games, and they ran out of time here, and they're not winning the division. But how awesome would it be to go up to Canada and knock the Blue Jays out? I can see it, man. And then from there, you're in the ALCS with whomever. Detroit. I thought Tarek Skubal might have a little bit of an issue, but news came out today that Tarek Skubal is fine. Tarek Skubal, who had he exited the game with like a right side injury. Yeah, he says, you know, it's on to the next one. He pitched his usual between starts bullpen without any issues, and it was his left side. So Tarek Skubal is fine. Maybe we got to dance with the Detroit Tigers again like we used to years ago. So I don't know, man. With the Yankees, I'm not 100% confident because this lineup can go cold like they went two nights ago, but I'm not using the excuse for sleep, but it is an excuse. It is a reason, at least. It might not be a valid excuse, but it's definitely a reason. Hey, these guys got in at 4 or 5 in the morning, whatever. They didn't sleep right. They were lethargic. So they came out swinging and hitting tonight. Let's see what they do against Taj Bradley today. Taj Bradley, who I saw, you know, they've hit him, but I saw him dominate with the Tampa Bay Rays against the Yankees. Here comes a rubber match that the Yankees have to win. Another audition for Luis Gil, who I'm starting to lean towards. Okay, give Luis Gil the ball. He was rookie of the year last year. He's not a rookie this year. Also, you know, Cam Schlittler is getting to a point, innings pitch-wise, where this is a lot. Luis Gil missed most of the year. So, in theory, he should be more fresh. And I'd like to see Cam Schlittler go into the bullpen. Well, maybe there's a scenario where you go Schlittler, Devin Williams, Bednar. You know what I'm saying? If they can't get Luke Weaver right, maybe you can put Cam Schlittler in that type of role. I don't know. We're getting close to it, man. It's crazy to think that it's 2 weeks away. In 2 weeks, we will be watching less now. In less than 2 weeks, we will be watching postseason baseball. In 2 weeks, I will be on The Fan after the first postseason games talking about what happened. And maybe it's the Mets and the Yankees that we're talking about and hopefully wins. You know, on the other side of the bracket right now, the Mets would be facing the Dodgers. And I don't think the Met fan is scared of the Dodgers. As I was looking at the scores, let me refresh the scores. The Dodgers were up. And I think the Phillies came back. Yeah, they did. Bottom of the eighth here. And you guys saw the videos. The Phillies were partying last night. They clinched the division. They were drinking beers heavy. They were going in. So the Dodgers were up 4-0. The Phillies just put up 6 in the sixth inning. Dodgers just scored as I clicked on the box score. It's 6-5. Ohtani pitched tonight. Not sure what he did. He went five innings. It wasn't on him. He went five innings, no hits, no runs, five Ks. He dominated. The Dodgers bullpen started giving it up. But yeah, we'll keep eyes on that. Not that it matters so much, but talking about the postseason and talking about, you know, letting the chips fall where they may, on the other side would be the Padres versus the Cubs. Winner of that would go on to face the Brewers, and the winner of Mets-Dodgers will go on to face the Phillies. I just don't see too much movement. I don't see, you know, too much of a jump happening in 2 weeks. I think we are where we are, where, you know, the teams that win are going to continue to win and hold their place. I know it's a little different for the Mets as we look at the standings and we look at the Mets winning back-to-back games. Had to. Like I said, you can't lose a whole nother week. You lost eight in a row. You got to, this week in your building, right the ship some. So, you know, the Mets are a game and a half up on the Arizona Diamondbacks, three up on the Cincinnati Reds, and three up on the San Francisco Giants, who they own the tiebreaker over. The Reds lost to the Cardinals tonight. They're not for real at all. So, like, again, when I talk about the Mets making it, it's also good for baseball to have two New York teams, big market teams, big money teams in the postseason, and have Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor and Pete Alonso in the postseason as well. I mean, it'd be cool to have Ellie De La Cruz, I guess. But at the same time, no, it wouldn't. Like, I just don't think that the Reds have it. I think that the Mets will have enough to hold them off, and it'd just be a better tournament. It'd be a better tournament with those teams. 888-808-1019. Let me tap into the chat as we get these calls up here. Shout out to the YouTube faithful. The Night Watch is on. Shout out to Monkey D. Louie in the chat, who says, I'm a Mets fan, and I want to talk to Keith. It's not all Mets fans. I know sometimes I got to say, some Mets fans don't want to talk to me. Some Mets fans are like, you're not our guy, friend. And I know that. I know that. Shout out to Chris Nalina, who's always in the chat, whether it's BT and Sal or the overnight with myself and Big Mac. Pamela Williams, always showing love. Monkey D. Louie, also in there. Appreciate you guys. We'll start to pull some of the conversation from the chat as well. You know, like there was a conversation going on in the chat about the Mets relying on these kids. Well, now, like, you have a little bit of a wrinkle. You could go Clay Sean. So it could be David Peterson, Clay Sean, Nolan McClain. Let's see what Brandon Sproat has next. Let's see what Jonah Tong has, kind of picking himself back up in this situation. All right, one call before we go to break, and then after we break, we'll do the big shot, and I'll try and find a Tell Me Something Cool, and I'll get out of the way. Carlos is in Clifton, New Jersey on the Fan again. What's up, Los?
Hey, what's up, Keith? Hey, tonight's game, I don't know. You talk about Ajita. I'm like, come on, these guys, we're not going to lose this game, right?
Never easy. No, never easy, New York Yanks. We could have, and then we would have lost the series, and my tone would have been completely different.
Now, hearing about all the talk of what we're going to do if we get into that rotation, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing the young kid come out of the bullpen just in case one of the guys starting doesn't have it. I feel better with Lewis Hill. Hill's starting.
Me too.
You know, he
pitched in the postseason last year.
Right. Yep. And then one more thing, and I'll let you go because I know you're going to have a lot of calls soon. I don't need Judge to get hurt. What are you doing? What are you doing, Judge? Don't steal third. What are you doing? Like, we're up two runs. I know you're the captain. You felt the pressure. You didn't want to lose this game. But I don't need that guy getting hurt trying to do stuff he's not supposed to be doing right now.
Yeah.
All right, I'll let you go, Keith. Have a good one.
Thanks for the call. I didn't need it either. That's why I joked that he's trying to get his steals up to take that category away from Cal Raleigh. But I think Bellinger was up. You just didn't need it. He was mad about it. He was visibly frustrated about it. Whatever. We'll excuse that, Judge. Player of the week. 888-808-1019. We got to do the player of the night. We'll do a big shot for the Mets. We'll do a big shot for the Yankees. We'll take your calls on the Mets and the Yankees. We're all clear. So dial 888-808-1019 right now. Keith McPherson on the Fan for the next 90 minutes less. I'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
Wakanda! Welcome!
The big shout of the night is brought to you by WFAN and me, Keith McPherson. Bright lights in this big city. You know we got a bunch of big shots. We'll start off with the polar bear, Pete Alonso. Back-to-back games. He does it. He homers twice. And Pete Alonso tonight is the player of the game as Pete Alonso is able to break open and add on to what the Mets were doing, going 2-for-4 with that RBI, 2 runs scored. Alonso leading the way and leading the charge as the Mets have to right the ship. Alonso, a leader of the team. Alonso, someone who also is going to opt out and try and get paid. I think it would behoove him and his case to really get going here down the stretch. And leave no doubt about, hey, we need Pete Alonso. We need Pete Alonso back. Pete Alonso is a big part of this team and this offense. And, yes, Pete goes out there tonight 2-for-4 with a run batted in, a big homer. And then Trent Grisham. You're a mean one, Mr. Grish. Trent Grisham said, who needs doubles? Who needs doubles? F him. Because he doubled to start the game. And then he comes back and he hits his 31st homer. Trent Grisham, who was featured on the big screen at Target Field with a little trivia. A little nugget about Trent Grisham. It read, Trent Grisham met his wife in middle school, but didn't get married right away because they were in middle school. So, yeah, 2-for-4 with a homer, 3 runs batted in, 31 homers on the season. Another guy that is going to get paid this offseason. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the phones. Let's get to the calls. Shout out to everybody again in the chat as we had doubled the chat. Armand Dutta, Dennis Salazar, my guy Amper in the chat. We got a good amount of like consistent people. Bowling Jet, who says, shout out to Keith. I'm a Yankees fan, Jets fan, driving around doing deliveries for DoorDash. I used to do the same. I know that grind. Drive safe. Get your money. And enjoy the show and these calls. And I'll keep tapping in to see if you guys are talking about anything good to bring in to the airwaves. Ralph is in New Haven on the Fan. What's up, Ralph?
Hi, thanks for having me on. I'm a diehard Phillies fan. My question is the MVP in the American League. I know everybody's going to be going for Judge because it's a New York station and stuff, but the kid Cal is playing out of his mind. My question is, if Cal Raleigh was on the Yankees and Judge was on Seattle, who would Yankee fans vote for?
Cal Raleigh. Thanks for the call, Ralph. That's an easy one. And I could talk about this all day. Like, what Cal Raleigh's doing is amazing. But there's just certain categories, man. Like, if you've got the lead in all of these categories, war, OPS, batting average, and Judge isn't that far off your home run total, RBI total, then, like, you're not the most valuable player. And it's like, You're not doing it on the stage that Judge is doing it. New York with the Yankees, who were in the World Series last year. I think it's Judge, but I know we've seen voter fatigue happen in the NFL. Lamar Jackson should have had his third MVP, but they gave Josh Allen one because what if Josh Allen never has a year like that? He's not going to get one. So Josh Allen ends up getting his MVP last year. And then if you go back a couple years in the NBA, the same thing happened with Nikola Jokic. He should have won it again, but they're like, are we really going to give Jokic another MVP? And he hasn't gotten to the finals. He fails in the playoffs. Well, he didn't get it that year. They gave it to Joel Embiid. And then what did Jokic do? Go win the finals, win finals MVP, and try and get out of Dodge and get back to his horses. Cal Raleigh is a horse, man. Big dumper. Cal Raleigh is a beast. He hit 56 and 57. He's tied with Ken Griffey for the Mariners all time. He's going to pass it. They have plenty of games left. Now, here's the plot twist. Like, at 56 home runs, like he's four away from 60. That puts him in rare air. And if I dare speak on him getting the 62, that's going to swing it. If he's able to hit six home runs in the next, 12 games? And that's not crazy the way that they pitch to him. I don't understand that either. I do understand it because it's the Mariners and it's Cal Raleigh. But like Judge, I'm sure if I go to stats and look up their walks, Judge has way more walks and they don't pitch to Judge. But the Mariners face the Astros coming up, the Rockies coming up, and the Dodgers, and I think there's a good chance that in these next 11 games, he could hit six. He had two tonight. So if Kyle Raleigh ties the American League home run record, even if he's like, I don't know, if he ties it, I'm not going to say 61, but if he ties Judge, then this will be the year that they give Kyle Raleigh the MVP and they say, sorry, Judge. But if he comes short of 60, if he comes short of 62, I get it. He plays a demanding position. He's a catcher. I get it. He's a switch hitter. He's still not Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge is the best hitter on the planet. Aaron Judge, just one player of the week. Aaron Judge, they don't pitch to. Aaron Judge should get his next MVP, in my opinion, if he keeps it up, if he keeps his pace up. But if Cal Raleigh ties him, I think that's going to be enough for people to swing. Or God forbid, he hits seven, and then he's the new, like, you know, sole possession of the American League home run record, then it's done. Then it's done. Judge missing a month is tough, but I think that helps his case too. He missed a month, and look at his numbers. Judge also playing right field, and just too many of these goofies that just, oh, he plays right field in Yankee Stadium. I hear, you know, I think Dallas Braden just came out and was talking about Nick Kurtz, and he said something stupid that people were getting at him about, like, oh, you know, Judge hits in Yankee Stadium, as if Judge is some type of short porch merchant, which he's not. Judge hits the ball 400, 500 feet. Yeah, his quote was, and remember, Aaron Judge is dumping baseballs into that Cracker Jack box out on the East Coast. Like, he said that during a call of an A's game. That's not the case at all. But people will use that against Judge, and then they'll use the fact that, oh, he was out and he wasn't in right field. He plays a much easier defensive position. But if you go through Judge's highlights, like, I was there that Cubs game. Just that Cubs game alone, he made multiple diving catches, ridiculous catches. Like, Judge is a good defender. He doesn't have his full arm, but we know he's got the cannon. So I'm not taking anything away from Judge. I think Judge should get this MVP. They owe him one anyway from Altuve stealing it. And if it's close with Cal Raleigh and Judge, like, I still think it's Judge. I think they give the nod to Judge for WAR, for OPS, for his batting average. Judge is, like I said, Judge is stealing bases to try and have another category where it's like, nah, you don't even have me in that. You know, Judge is an out of this world type of player consistently. Cal Raleigh is having an out of this world type of season this year. And kudos to him. Like I said, the Mariners have won 10 in a row. The Mariners are playing really good right now when you need to play really good. Head to head. You know, the Yankees beat the Mariners. They swept the Mariners. And the Mariners right now are first place team in the West. I know that's part of it too, right? Because people are going to talk about how valuable are you if your team's not in first place, right? The Yankees aren't in first place. They're not catching first place. That nod will go to Cal Raleigh too. Hey, this team's in first place, and he's a big reason. When you take Judge away from the Yankees, as the Yankees did this year, the Yankees are able to survive. If you take Kyle Raleigh away from the Mariners this year, they're not able to survive. That pitching staff falters. That lineup suffers without Kyle Raleigh. All respect to him. I'm just, you know, going off of criteria. and going off of what we're going to line up here. OPS, slug, on-base percentage, average, walks. Like, Judge is right behind Soto in walks. And Judge isn't looking to walk. Judge is six walks behind Soto. Where is Cal Raleigh in that regard? I probably got to scroll through. I probably got to go through multiple pages. Even with runs batted in, Cal Raleigh is at 118. Judge is at 103. Like, Judge could have a hot week here and close that gap some. Home runs, Cal Raleigh's at 56. Aaron Judge is at 48. I mean, it's a lot. There's a gap there. Judge got to get over 50 soon. And Cal Raleigh's got to stay under 60, but I just doubt that's going to happen. Hits, that's another big category. Aaron Judge has 164 hits. Cal Raleigh, I got to go to page 3 or 4 to find Cal Raleigh's number of hits. Runs, like I don't even have to look. I just know runs. Judge added a couple runs. Judge has 125 runs. Cal Raleigh's got 104. Judge has got him beat in multiple categories. But it goes down to the votes. And I just think the voters are going to have voter fatigue. You know they hate the Yankees. They don't want to give the Yankees any more hardware. You know, we've seen the Yankees get snubbed, Rookie of the Year. I still think when Rocco Baldelli won Manager of the Year, it should have been Boone in 2019. We see it all the time. So wouldn't be surprised if they do give it to Cal Raleigh, but clearly I'm a Yankee fan. If I have a vote, I'm voting for Judge. Back to the phones we go. Bruce is in Flushing on the Fan. What's up, Bruce?
Hey, Keith, before I get to my Yankee points, you mentioned a Winston trade. Is that a rumor?
Yeah.
That it happened?
So that's a joke. That's a joke that I dropped in there in my open, but there is talk about Joe Burrow going down. And I think Big Cat from Barstool is the main one that started it, but people are starting to lean into it. Joe Burrow shouldn't be out for that long, but people are saying, like, I mean, there are other quarterbacks that are hurt.
No, they said he's going to be out to mid to late December. So it makes sense.
With the turf toe injury? Yeah, I guess. I mean, but Jake Browning was able to, I think, get them to the playoffs last year. But, yes, the conversation is swirling around Jameis Winston, as Jameis Winston just went viral talking about, I'm a starter in this league, but I got to know my role and do my role here. There is some conversation swirling about what Jameis would do with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. And if the Bengals are serious about this year, they should inquire about trading for Russell Wilson.
Yeah, logically, you mean Winston. Yeah, it makes sense. Yankee points.
Yeah.
I agree with an earlier caller. To me, I love Cam, but to me, him coming out of the bullpen, fifth, sixth, seventh inning, and you have to be careful with him because you don't want to ruin the arm, and he's not used to it. You may have to apply the Jabba rules with him coming out of the bullpen, but he'd be the perfect guy to come out in middle innings if a starter, you know, needs to get out, because he'll seems like he's getting like into midseason form. He had a little rust. He worked the rust off, and I think I'm more comfortable he'll starting game 3 and having Cam coming out of the bullpen. Agree or disagree?
I completely agree. I think that's where we are today, especially if it's against the Red Sox. I just think there's going to be a little added emotion and pressure for him. And I just look at Heel, and we're going to see Heel in a postseason-style start tonight against Taj Bradley, where he's got to hold because we can't lose this series to the Twins. And, you know, he's been good his last couple outings. Just got to keep the walks down. I feel a lot more confident in Luis Heel, year 2. He pitched in the postseason last year. His season started late this year, so he's fresh. Cam Schlittler is definitely hitting some kind of wall here, and if he can transition to the bullpen, I think that's the move, and I think he's got the head for it. I think he's got the mental for it. Like, he's not gonna be like, oh, I can't do this. He's just gonna come out and throw hard like he does. So that could be effective for an inning.
And I hope Boone noticed it's better to play Volpe when he's not hurt, and you give him a week off, and you give him some rest. Because today, Volpe looked like a completely different player than he did this entire season.
Cortisone tone, yeah, and it's obvious that, like, the kid, his dream was to play shortstop for the New York Yankees. And because he's durable, like they say, they throw him out there every single day. But maybe that's not what's best for him. I think we have gotten to that point now where we can all agree, hey, playing every single day, like everybody else gets rest, Judge gets rest. Like you were rotating the outfield with you know, Dominguez getting an opportunity. You know, I know it's the shortstop of the Yankees, but Volpe is always better. He performs better. He has better at-bats. He hits better. He fields better after a day, a couple days off, and especially this year with a partially torn labrum.
Have a good night, Keith.
Thanks for the call, Bruce. Yeah, earlier today, I'm trying to find the quote, too. You know, Boone was asked about Caballero, and Boone was asked about Volpe, and I want to read the exact quote. Because I don't want to do a verbatim and miss a word here or make some up. Let's see. Max Goodman writes, Aaron Boone's explanation for why Volpe is starting today at shortstop and not Jose Caballero. He says Volpe's ready to go, and also Caballero is not a guy that plays every single day, and I want to be mindful of that. He's a little beat up too. Want to get Anthony back into the mix here, and hopefully he gives us some spark today. Now, he did enough today. He had two hits early today. He looked better today. But it's funny, right? It's just the situation that the Yankees put themselves in. It's just the situation that the Yankees find themselves in late in the season here. Caballero, too, wants to play every single day, right? Caballero's living a dream. He gets out of Tampa, who's playing in the Yankees spring training facility, and now he gets to play in Yankee Stadium with his eye black and his bright wristbands and his 72. And he's the shortstop of the Yankees. Andy Martino had a tweet that was like, it made you think. He said, in fairness to Volpe, Jose Caballero has had both a moment on defense and a moment on offense tonight for which Volpe would have been excoriated. And when you think back to two nights ago, if that was Volpe kind of being stuck between, do I have an unassisted double play? Oh, wait, now do I get it to Jazz? And then they don't turn the double play and we don't get out of it. People would have killed Volpe for that. And then if it was Volpe getting picked off a second and getting caught and on the base paths, running into an out, they would have fried Anthony Volpe. But because Anthony Volpe is the whipping boy, Yankee fans will excuse the guy filling in for the whipping boy. He can do no wrong. Caballero, great. Caballero homered. Caballero steals bases. Caballero, you know, fields the position a lot smoother. But there has to be a happy balance between them both playing, depending on matchups. And like we saw tonight, okay, if Caballero's not the starting shortstop, you can put him in late in the game to pinch run and put pressure on the defense. You need that, right? He's a better base runner than Dominguez. You know, it could be Dominguez going in for Stanton on first. No, you want Caballero, the leader in stolen bases, to go in and take that bag. He's taking it every single time. 888-808-1019. Volpe's just got to have productive at-bats. He can't go 0-for-4. He can't have a bunch of strikeouts. For him tonight to have a double, a single, and a walk, I started calling him Cortisone Tone. I gave him a nickname. This is a different guy. Cortisone Tone was out there like, yo, I'm back. I'm back. One strikeout. Whatever. He still drove in a run. And he needs rest. I mean, a torn labrum, that's nothing to shake off, as the Yankees did all season. But at least you kind of give a head nod to Brian Cashman. Good on Brian Cashman to go get Jose Caballero so we have that option. Better late than never, right? Sorting this out before we get to October. I told you last night, I guarantee you Anthony Volpe is in the starting lineup. There's no question. There's no question, right? You would think with these 13 games in 13 days, they might have done it to start this series. Obviously, as this is the softer spot in the schedule, the trap part of the schedule, if you ask me. But, you know, with Caballero opened the door. I said I've seen Caballero yawn. I don't know if he's a sleepy type. I don't know if he sleeps. I think he's so wired. I don't see him catching Z's. But yeah, he left the door open, or he cracked the door open with the mistake in the field, the mistake on the base paths. We're like, okay, yeah, Volpe. This is the opportunity to get Volpe in, and Volpe did good tonight. Good enough. Good enough compared to some of his other games. Good enough to, you know, help the team move the line along, you know, get to Wells, pass the baton, get on base, pass the baton to Wells. How about Wells? Wells has three different times that he has hit the ball off the top of the rim and it has bounced in. He did that, I believe, earlier in the season against the Arizona Diamondbacks in the rain in Yankee Stadium. He did that in Houston in like right field. The ball bounced off the top and back in, and then he did it again tonight in Minnesota. He's got to hit the weight room or do some push-ups. I remember talking to Giancarlo Stanton, the game I filled in for Susan Waldman against the White Sox last year. Stanton had one hit off the top of the wall and back in. And then his next at bat, he hit the next one way out. And when I interviewed him as Susan Star of the game after the game, I said, what'd you do in between at bats? The first one you didn't get out. The second one you got clear out. He's like, oh, I just needed to get a quick pump, do some push-ups in between at bats. I don't know if he was joking or not, but like maybe Wells should take that advice. Do some push-ups between at bats, bro. You've had three would-be home runs that came within inches away, not even a foot. Hit the top of the wall and back. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We will continue the conversation around the Yankees and the Mets. Call us up. We will be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.